We begin the current daf Masechet Shabbos daf Mem. We begin four lines from the top of the Yomid. The Gemara continues the theme of the discussion of the previous daf, which spoke about the prohibition, the Isser, of washing one's entire body with hot water on Shabbos. Now the Gemara qualifies this with a machloikis. The Gemara begins, Itmar, chamet shehuch me'erev Shabbos, regarding hot water that was warmed up from before Shabbos. Rav Amar lemacher on Shabbos, reiches ben kol gufay eva eva. You could wash your whole body, however it has to be limb by limb. You can't take one bath that you have your whole body immersed at one time, or a shower. Rather, each limb has to be washed separately. But through that process, you could wash your whole body, even with hot water on Shabbos, as long as it was warmed up from before Shabbos. Shmuel Amar, they did not permit a person to wash his body with hot water, even if it was warmed up from before Shabbos, only his face, his hands, and his feet. So the Gemara asks Mesre, the Gemara asks on Rav, from a braisa that we had on the previous daf on Lamed Tesma Beis. We learned Chamet Shehochma Me'erev Shabbos regarding hot water that was heated up from before Shabbos. So the braisa said, L'mocha Reichetz Ben Ponev Yod Ragel. So tomorrow on Shabbos, one could wash with it his face, his hands, and his feet. Avaloi Kol Gufa, but not his entire body. So to you of the Rav, that seems to be a refutation from the opinion of Rav, which says that you could wash your whole body. So Amalcha Rav, Loi Kol Gufa Bevas Achas. What the braisa is saying is that you can't wash your entire body at one time. Ayla, Aver, Aver. Rather, you can do it limb by limb. However, this that it's excluding the whole body means at one time. To which the Gemara asks, Vapon the Bidder Aglev Kotani. But the Braisa says explicitly that one could wash his hands, his feet, and his face, and not more. And he's saying you could wash every limb. And that Rav answers, Kain Pon the Bidder Aglev, means in the same manner as one's feet and one's hand. In other words, just like there, it's you're washing each one separately because you're not washing your whole body. You're doing your separate, your hands and the feet. That's the same idea that it means. That means it has to be done separately, and that's you can wash your whole body limb by limb that way. So therefore, there's no raya either way. So Gemara is Tashma being a raya, again, not like Rav. We learned Lohitiru Lurchitz Bacham Meshachum Be'er Shabbos, that it was not permitted for a person to wash himself with hot water that was heated up from before Shabbos. El upon the Baraglev, only his face, his hands, and his feet. Again, not like Rav. So Rav gives a similar answer. Hachanamikain upon the Baraglev. Again, it means in the same manner as the face, the hands, and the feet. That is, that there has to be separately done. But again, if you do it separately, if you do it limb by limb, you could go ahead and wash your entire body on Shabbos. However, the Gemara says, Tanika Vasei Deshmul, we learned the Braisa explicitly like Shmuel, that only the hands, the face, and the feet, and not the whole body, even limb by limb. Because the Braisa learned Chamet Shoch Me'erev Shabbos regarding hot water that was heated up from before Shabbos. L'mocha Reichetz Ben Ponev Yod Raglev, the following day on Shabbos, you can wash with it your face, your hands, your feet. Avaloi Kol Gufay Ever Ever. And it says explicitly, and not your whole body, even limb by limb. And the Braisa says, Ve'in Etzorach Lemin, you don't have to say that the same halacha would apply for Chamet Shoch Me'erev Yomtev, for hot water that was heated up on Yomtev, that there, although you're allowed to do for your hands, your face, your feet, but it can't be for the whole entire body, even limb by limb. So the Gemara says that that was one version of the statement of Rav. Rabba masnin lo loho shmaita d'Rav b'hai lishna. Rabba learned a different version of what Rav's statement was. Not that it meant that you could wash your whole body, but limb by limb. Rather, chamet shoch me'erev Shabbos, regarding how water that was heated up from before Shabbos, l'mocha amar Rav, the following day Rav says, the reichetz ben kol gufa, you could wash your whole body, u'just u'mishayir eiver echa, but you just have to leave over one limb. In other words, you can go to the shower, but like people have a cast sometimes, put in a bag, just don't wash one limb. Then you can wash your whole entire body, as long as it's not the whole body. On that, Eisvikolam Tuyufta, on that we asked all the different refutations that we asked, and therefore Tuyufta, the Gemara says, it's a refutation because you can't give the same answers that the first version was given, for the first version of Rav was given. That you can't say that it was in the same manner as the face, the hands, and the feet, because here in this version of Rav, he's saying that you can wash your whole body together. It's just one limb you have to leave out, and therefore you can't answer those braises seem to be a refutation of this version of Rav, that you can't wash your whole body. It has to be only your hands, your face, and your feet. So the Gemara continues that some of my Rom wanted to get clear, how do we paskan on this halach about taking showers or bath and hot water on Shabbos? So Amalei Rav Yosef Abaye, Reisu said to Abaye, and the reason is because Abaye grew up in the house of Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, who was the Rosh Hashiva before Rav Yosef, and he died. And afterwards, Rav Yosef became the Rosh Hashiva, so Rav Yosef would ask Abaye, how did he see that his place where he grew up, which was by Rabba, how did he, you know, what was his custom and what he did? Because Rabbi Yosef was the next Rosh Hashiva, wanted to know how the halacha was. So Rabba Miko Ovid Kishmaiti D'Rav, so Rabbi Yosef asked Abaya, did Rabba do like this halacha of Rav, that in other words, Lakula, that regarding this taking a bath on shower, or a shower on with hot water on Shabbos, that Rav said that you're allowed to do it either one of the two versions, either that it meant that you could do your whole body just limb by limb, or that you could do your whole body except one limb. Did Rabbi do like Rav or not? So Rabbi says, I don't know. I don't recall. I don't know what he did regarding taking showers on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, what was Rav Yosef's question? What was he asking him? It's obvious that Rabbi did not do like Rav in this halacha of taking a shower with hot water on Shabbos. Though he taisa because he was refuted, as we just mentioned the Gemara before. Now the Gemara says, Loi Shmile, that Rabbi did not hear this refutation, and therefore Rav Yosef was unclear about the custom of Rabbi, that maybe he did like Rav. So the Gemara asks, if that's the case, the Eloi Shmile, and if Rabbi did not hear about the refutation of Rav, so then what was the suffix of Rav Yosef? Vadei Ovid, then definitely Rabbi did do like Rav. And the reason is because Dama Abaya, Kol Mili Demar Ovid Karav, that Abaya said, since he lived in the house of Rabbi, he saw whatever he did. He said, everything that Rabbi did, he did like Rav. Bar Mahanit Last Ovid Kishmol, except these three halachas that he did like Shmuel, which are Matila Mibegilabeka, that you're allowed to attach tzitzis from one garment to another. You're allowed to take it from one garment to attach it to another one. Second one was Madlikim in there, that you're allowed to light the Chanukah lights from one candle to another candle. And that the halacha is a grip shim regarding dragging a bench on Shabbos, that we're not concerned that you're going to be chayrish and you're going to be plowing, so to speak, since that's not your intention. So therefore, of course, that he did. In other words, if Rabbi didn't hear about the refutation, of course he's going to do like Rav. So again, what was the question of Rav Yosef? And that the Gemara says, Kachurmi de Rav of it. Rabbi did like the stringencies of Rav. Besides these three halachas, and although they were leniencies, he did like Shmuel. Kekuli de Rav loy avid, but he did not do like all the leniencies of Rav. And therefore, you could say that maybe Rabbi did not do like Rav in this area, and that was the question Rabbi Yosef posed to Abaye, in which Abaye says he doesn't know. He didn't know what Rabbi's custom was in regards to taking a shower on Shabbos with hot water, if it was like Rav or like Shmuel. Now the Gemara goes and wants to clarify, what is the source for the prohibition of taking a shower or a bath with hot water on Shabbos? What's the issue? There's no problem. It was already heated up from before Shabbos, so why can't you take a shower or a bath with hot water on Shabbos? And that the Gemara brings a brisa that shows the whole story how it happened. Turn up on it. We learn the brisa. Merchad shepakukun akav merv Shabbos. Regarding a bathhouse that had the vents closed from before Shabbos, and that allows that the heat won't escape, and that nothing, no more heat is coming in, so to speak, blocked off. L'matzah Shabbos, reichet by miyat. So on Matzah Shabbos, right after Shabbos, you're allowed to bathe in it right away, and you don't have to wait what's known as b'chdei shiyas, the amount of time it takes for it to be heated up, because it wasn't heated up on Shabbos. And therefore, no malacha was done. So therefore, although the heat was retained the whole Shabbos because it was closed, it doesn't make a difference. You go when the second Shabbos is over. However, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to, because as we mentioned, that there was a gzeira that was made on the rechitzah, you're not allowed to bathe with hot water on Shabbos. Similarly, pakku nekav v'merv yamtiv, that if the vents were closed from before yamtiv, then lamachar nichnas mezias, and on yamtiv you're allowed to go and steam bathe. You can go in, and then that is steam bathing is that you're just sitting there in the bathhouse, you're not putting any water on you, you're just getting hot and, so to speak, sweating. V'yoytzu mishtatev v'bezachitzin. However, when you're leaving, you have to rinse off in the outer chamber. And that's the chamber that's in the, so to speak, in the front part of the merchatz, and you can't go into the inner part. So that people shouldn't say that you were bathing on Yom Tov. As we said, that they made a prohibition of bathing, but regarding sweating, regarding steam bathing, that they allowed. Some Rabbi Yehuda said that Ma'isa b'merchatz shel Bnei Barak, there was a story with the bathhouse in Bnei Barak, shepakaku nekav me'erev Yom Tov, that they had closed the vents from Erev Yom Tov, again, which allows a person to, so to speak, to sweat on Yom Tov, to take a steam bath. L'machar nichnas Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah Rebbe Kiva v'ziba, and therefore the following day on Yom Tov, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah Rebbe Kiva came, and they were schwitzing, they went and they were steam bathing on Yom Tov. V'yatzu v'nishtatz v'besachitz, and they did as the halacha requires, and they went and they rinsed off in the outer room. However, the Gemara says that Ela shachamesh shalei mechubim minisam. However, the hot water there, which was always underneath, was hot water that was boiling, that was covered with boards, and therefore they didn't have to suspect that maybe it was heated up on Yom Tov from the heat of the merchatz, because it was blocked over the board, so they knew definitely that the heat that's coming was not made on Yom Tov, it was made from before Shabbos. So therefore the Gemara says, Kishabaha Dovel of Nechacham, when this story, this incident came in front of the Chacham, that they heard of this exact story, Amru Afa Pisha Ein Chamashalei Mechub Min Asarim. That this Heta, as we mentioned in the beginning of the Brayse, is even if the hot water was not covered with boards, still it's permitted if, as we mentioned, that the vents have been closed off, then it's still permitted. It doesn't have to be that you know for sure that it's not being heated, that when this board's covering the hot water. Even if it's not, that it's open and it's, so to speak, the steam's coming out of the bath. As long as the vents will close, it doesn't make a difference. It's going to be mutter. You don't have to see definitely that there's no steam coming from the water because it's covered with boards. It's still going to be mutter. However, the Braisa continues. But when there is a proliferation of sinners, then they started prohibiting even steam bathing. And the Braisa continues, that regarding the bathhouses, these are the large bathhouses that are in the cities, a person could take a stroll through the bathhouse. In other words, if he's going and he's walking through there, and he doesn't have to be concerned that people are going to say that he's going to schwitz, although that now we prohibited even, so to speak, sweating and steam bathing, it doesn't make a difference. Although he's still going to get a little bit hot, he can, so to speak, stroll through, and we don't have to be concerned that people are saying that he's steam bathing. So now the Gemara wants to clarify the Braisa. My Ivri Avei, what does it mean of the sinners that we said that because of these sinners that we used to allow steam bathing, and because of them, we prohibited steam bathing? So the Gemara brings, originally, they used to bathe with hot water that was heated up from before Shabbos. As we said, what should be wrong with taking a hot bath or hot shower on Yom Tov or Shabbos as long as it was prepared from before Shabbos? However, this is where the problem started. So the bath attendants started heating up the water on Shabbos. They forgot or they wanted to make it hotter. That was already heated up from before Shabbos. And they're being over in Isidai Raisa of cooking and of doing Havara, which is igniting a fire. So also as a chaman. So they prohibited bathing on Shabbos with hot water. Totally, you can't bathe with hot water because that allowed people to, so to speak, do it on Shabbos and say it was from before Shabbos. However, heat materials is there. They still allowed steam bathing. However, then people were still bathing in the hot water that was heated up from before Shabbos. And they said, oh, we were just steam bathing, and this that we look like we're wet is from this steam. So they prohibited for them the steam bathing. But they still allowed them to bathe in the hot waters, in the hot springs of Tveria, because that's not even heated up by fire at all, and therefore there it doesn't apply the gzera that's going to be heated up on Shabbos, because it's just natural springs. However, but then people were still bathing in hot baths, and they were saying, oh, with this that we're all, so to speak, clean and bathed, is because we went and bathed in the hot springs in Tveria. So therefore they prohibited for them even bathing in the hot springs of Tveria, and they permitted for them, so to speak, to bathe in cold water. However, they saw that people weren't able to manage, that the public couldn't, so to speak, withstand this gzera, because now they couldn't have any hot baths, even in the Chamei Tveria, and they, so to speak, took away everything, and they took away the schwitzing, and took away everything. All they had was something cold, and in the winter times, definitely that's not going to work. So then Chazal permitted to bathe in the hot springs of Tveria. However, the gzera, the decree, prohibiting steam bathing, that stayed as it was, that it's still awesome. And that's how the whole hishtalshus happened, about although it's even permitted to take a hot bath on Shabbos, that this was all the different levels they went through, that people still were doing the thing that was prohibited and it was going to cause possible chil Shabbos d'oraisa. That's why they prohibited everything besides bathing in the hot springs of Tver. So the Gemara brings related to this a proof from this story, that Amar Rava, Hayman de Avad Rabbanan, that whoever transgresses an Isid Rabbanan, you're allowed to call him a sinner, even though it's just, so to speak, Isid Rabbanan. Kaman, who's this like? Where do we see such a concept? On that, we continue on to Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Ki hai tana, like this tana of this price that we just mentioned, that we said that it said the terminology, Mischilu Ivra Vera, from when the sin is proliferated. That is, what did they start doing? They began to steam bathe. And that was only prohibited Mid Rabbanan because of those that are going to bathe in that water that was heated up from yesterday. And they're going to say, oh, we were just sweating. So therefore, this prohibition of not sweating is only Isid Rabbanan, that they said that we want to prohibit all hot water. And still, in spite of the fact that people that were steam bathing, they called them Avaryano, that they called them a sinner. So you see that someone that's even Isid Rabbanan is called a sinner. And therefore, you're allowed to call someone that's Oivir Rabbanan a sinner. So now the Gemara resumes discussing that braisa. It said, Am Vitoyesh al Karachim, Metayel ben Venechoshesh, that the bathhouses of the large cities, a person's allowed to stroll through them, and he doesn't have to be concerned. That is, although he's, so to speak, going to get a little bit hot, and people are going to say, oh, he's going to schwitz, it's not a problem because he's allowed to continue strolling. However, Amarava Dafka Krochen, that's necessarily by the large cities. But by the villages, by the small bathhouses, there you're not allowed to even stroll through. In my time, what's the reason? Kibin the Zutin, since they're small, there's a lot of heat over there, and therefore a person's going to necessarily sweat, even by default, and therefore there you're not allowed to even stroll through, because then it's obvious that you're going to sweat, and therefore we prohibited even just strolling through the bathhouses of the Kvarim, of the villages. The Gemara continues on this theme of the prohibition of bathing on Shabbos. Torah Rabban, Mescham Odin Kenegra Madur, a person's allowed to warm himself opposite a fire, and then afterwards, after he got so hot, he could rinse himself off with cold water. There's nothing that's being done wrong over there. However, the reverse is a problem. Ubavachali ishtata bitzin, as long as he doesn't rinse himself off with cold water, and then meyischam keneged madura, and then he'll warm himself opposite a fire, because there he's going to warm the water that's on him. However, Tesis says that the problem over here is not bishul, that you're going to be cooking, so to speak, the droplets of water on you, because all it is mafsher, as the lashon of the Gemara is, that you're going to warm that the Gemara is mashma in other places that have sharin loizeu bishulam, that the warming of the water is not considered the cooking. The problem is, Tesis brings from the Riva, is that it's similar to bathing yourself with hot water, because now you have the water, it's almost in an indirect way, but you're, so to speak, bathing yourself now with warm water on you. And therefore, a person might come to bathe himself with hot water, and that's why prohibited even doing it in such a way that you rinse yourself and then you go in front of hot water, because it might lead to bathing in hot water, which is prohibited. So related to this, the Gemara brings a similar type of a thing. Tanu Rabban, we learn the Braisa. Mecha Adam Aluntis, a person could warm up a towel and place it on his stomach on Shabbos. And that is, if a person has some type of an ailment in the stomach, a stomachache, so they would warm up a type of a vessel or an article of clothing and put it over there, and that would help for the stomachache. As long as he doesn't bring a hot kettle of water and place that on his stomach on Shabbos. And the Gemara says, this is prohibited even during the weekday because of the danger that it might come to pour hot water. Sometimes the water is very hot and it's going to be dangerous. And at Shabbos, you're not allowed to do it because if it spills on the person, it's going to come out that he, indirectly, but he bathed himself now with hot water on Shabbos, which that's prohibited. So on Shabbos, you're not allowed to take a hot water kettle and put it on the stomach because it might spill, and then you'll be overchil Shabbos. But even in the weekday, you should never do that because sometimes the water is very hot, and then it's going to be dangerous for the person regarding getting burnt from the hot water. So the Gemara brings something similar regarding this of putting something opposite the fire. Turn by Willen Nebrais. Maybe Adam Kita Mayim Umanichi Kenegimadur. A person is allowed to bring a pitcher of water and place it opposite a fire, but Loibishvil Sheikhamu, not that it should get heated. That is, you should leave it there until it starts bubbling, until it literally gets hot. As long as you're just putting it there to let it the chill go out, so to speak, to not be so cold, that's permitted because you're not cooking. A woman's allowed to bring a flask of oil, and she could also place it opposite the fire. But similarly, not so that it should get cooked, rather that it should get warmed. That is a little bit, again, not that it should get, leave it there until it's literally bubbling, rather until it gets warm. The third Tanna says, Isha Socha Yodo Shemen. A woman's allowed to anoint her hands with oil. And now she can warm her hands opposite the fire. However, to the case that was mentioned before, taking a flask of oil and putting that opposite the fire as it's done during the weekday, that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel holds is Aser. And that, on that point, he argues on Rabbi Yehuda. And then he ends off with Socha Lebneha Cotton, that she could anoint her minor son. It doesn't have to be concerned that there's any Isser being done on Shabbos. So now the Gemara wants to understand this price. So with these three different opinions. Iba ilhu. Shemen mahu l'tanakama. What is the understanding? We know that the last two opinions spoke about oil. Rabbi Huda said you could take a flask of oil and put it opposite the fire. Again, as long as it's not getting bubbling, it's getting cooked, rather just getting a little bit warm. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that you can't do that even. You could just, so to speak, do it indirect way by anointing your hands and then putting the hands by the fire. But the Tanakhama didn't speak about that. All he spoke about was putting a pitcher of water. So therefore, the Gemara inquires, what is Shemen Malu Tanakhama? What does the Tanakhama hold regarding oil? He only speaks about water. So we have a machlokes. Rabbi Yosef Ben Tavai Leter, they both say that the opinion of Tanakhama was that oil would be mutter. And Rav Nachman Yitzchok says that no, that he only permits in certain way water, but oil would be asa, as the Gemara explains. Rabbi Yosef Amir Tavayu Leter, they both say that he held that oil is mut, and that is what Rabbi Huda said is usher by oil because it's going to be considered that you're cooking it. And that's the Tanakhama said that it's mutter. And that it's only by water that he said v'loy sheichama, that you're not allowed to have it heated up, because by water it's applicable to have bishul that it's going to be cooked. But regarding oil, even if it gets what's known as yatzer ladis, which is that the hand would recoil touching it, which is generally the category of bishul, in which Rabbi Yehuda would say that oil is prohibited, that the Tanakhama holds even that is mutter, as the Gemara explains. Shemen, oil, even if the hand would recoil from touching, in other words, it's getting hot, it's boiling, it's still permitted. And why is that? Because that there is no prohibition of bishul, of cooking on oil, and that's exactly the same it is before and after cooking, therefore it didn't change any of the properties. And one of the elements, the fundamental principle of bishul, is that you're changing something from one property to another. And that came the second Tana. That there is an application of cooking regarding oil, and therefore you're not allowed to leave it that it's going to get cooked. Rather, only as Rabbi Yehuda says, that it's going to, so to speak, get a little bit warm. And as he says, because warming it is not considered cooking. And that came the third time of us, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Meimah, Shemen Yesh B'Mishim Bishul, as Rabbi Yehuda, that he agrees to argue on the Tanakhama that there is a prohibition of cooking regarding oil. And he says even more chamer, he says that even warming is considered cooking the oil, because it's something that will change the properties even by just warming it up. And therefore, as it's done during the week, putting the flask opposite the fire cannot be done, because that's considered cooking it. Rather, kalachiyah, doing it in an indirect type of way, through a shinoi, that's permitted when you're putting it on your hand and then you're putting it opposite the fire, where that way it's getting warm, and that way he permitted a person to do that. Then the other Amora says, Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar Li Issuri, says no, that the Tanakhama would hold by oil that it's in all cases it's prohibited, and that only by water did the Tanakhama say that it's permitted to, so to speak, just warm it and not to let it get heated up. But regarding oil, he held Hefsheri Zehu Bishuli, that just warming it up would be a prohibition of cooking, as the Gemara explains. Shemen, avapi she'ina yatzer ladis b'yaseh. Tanakhama held that oil, even if the hand would not recoil by touching it, it's still prohibited. And that is because k'sav shemen yesh b'mishum bishul, that he held that, first of all, that oil, it applies the prohibition of cooking. And even more so, the Tanakhama held, we have sheri zehu bishulei, and that warming it would be considered cooking it. And therefore, in old fashions, you're not allowed to have a flask of oil opposite a fire. And that came the second time. The Basar Behudal Meimah has Sheru Loizehu Bishuli. No, that warming is not considered cooking it. I agree that you can't leave the flask of oil that's going to get bubbling and it's going to get cooked, but just to warm it, it's okay. And that came the third Tana, Vasir Shem Gam Lila Meimah, that no, Shemen Yesh B'Mishum Bishul, that oil has Bishul, and Vav Sheru Zeh Bishuli, and that warming it is considered cooking. To which the Gemara asks, according to this version of the three-way machlokes, Rav Shimon Gamliel and Tanakhama, they're both saying the same thing. They both agree that the prohibition of cooking applies to oil and that warming is considered cooking. So therefore, what's the difference? And that the Gemara says, the difference between them is if one does it in an unusual way. And that is that according to Tanakhama, even through a shinoi, it's prohibited. Versus Rav Shimon Gamliel, we see explicitly that he allows that one to anoint her hands and put that opposite the fire, although it's going to be warm that way. Since it's being done in a direct way, he held that it's mutter, whereas the Tanakhama says in all fashions, in all ways, it's prohibited. So the Gemara brings lahalacha related to this machlaikis, Amr Behuda Mishmol, Echad Shemen Vechamayim, both regarding oil and regarding water. Yatzalad display usr, if the hand would recoil when it would touch, that's prohibited to leave that opposite the fire that it's going to get that hot. In yatzalad display mutter, but if the hand would not recoil, it's not bubbling, so to speak, then it's mutter. And that the Gemara asks a very important question regarding the halach of bishul. The hechadam yatzalad display. Well, it characterizes something as the hand that would recoil if it touched it. What degree would be the degrees that, so to speak, is considered that it's being cooked? And that is, the question is very, very simple, in the sense that some people recoil from something that's just a little bit hot, and some people don't recoil until it gets very hot. So therefore, how can we, so to speak, assess what's considered bishul based on if a hand would recoil? Some people are more sensitive than others. So therefore, how do we define it? And that the Gemara gives a more narrow interpretation. Any type of heat that the belly of an infant would get scalded, would get burnt, that's considered yatzer ladis boy. And there's a machlokes in the poskim, if it's 112 degrees Fahrenheit, there's different degrees, or that possibly luchumah, either way, that we say that's considered bishul, that's considered something that got hot enough, that's considered bishul, and that would be, where you're not allowed to leave the flask of oil opposite the fire if it would get that hot. So the Gemara brings a story related to this sugya. Rav Yitzchak Rav Dimi said, one time I followed after Rebbe into the Beis HaMerchatz, and this was on Shabbos, and it was also in the Chami Tveri, in the hot springs of Tveria, which were not prohibited, as we mentioned before in the Gemara, that they permitted for them the hot springs in Tveria, although they prohibited any other bathing with hot water or even steam bathing on Shabbos. So he says, "Ubikashti lanich lepach shel shemen b'amvati," that I attempted to place from a flask of oil in the bathtub, and that is, I wanted to, so to speak, warm it up a little bit so that he can anoint himself with it before he takes the bath. V'amali, and he said to me, "Tul b'klisheni v'ten," says, take from the water, from the hot water in the hot springs of Tveria, and put it first into a second vessel, and that way it's going to get cooled down a little bit. As the halachas of Shabbos are that a klisheni, what's known as a second vessel, that is, you have the water that was heated up in one vessel, and you pour it into a second cup. That cup is called klisheni, the second cup. And then afterwards, you could go ahead and put in the flask of oil into that second cup, and thereby you won't be over on any bishul of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Shema mina talas." I learned three things from this that Rebbe told me what to do. Shema mina shemen yesh b'mishum bishul. You see that there would be a prohibition of cooking on Shabbos related to oil, and that is because I was putting just a flask of oil, and still he told me different ways how to do it that it won't be cooking. Shema mina. Second thing I learned was klisheni in mevashel, that a second vessel doesn't cook. And therefore, I was allowed to, so to speak, take the hot waters from the spring and put it into a second cup, thereby being that a second cup, and now I can put the oil in because it doesn't cook. And the third thing, b'shmamino, have sherei zeh b'shula, I learned that just warming up oil is already considered cooking because that's all he wanted to do. He wanted to warm up the flask of oil, not to cook it so it should be bubbling. He wasn't cooking anything in this oil. However, since it's somewhere where it was fit to be cooked, he said that this, the warming up, is considered the cooking, and that's why he had to still put it into a klisheni, into a second vessel that shouldn't be considered cooking. So now the Gemara asks just a question on that story, that heichi avad hachi, how did Rebbe do this? How did he say, so to speak, a psak halacha, that he was telling him divri Torah in the Beis HaMerech, he was telling him different halachas what to do? But v'amar Rabbi Baruchan Rebbe Yechanan, b'chamaka muta lahar, in every place you're allowed to think about words of Torah, and a person should always have his mind occupied with words of Torah. Chutz mebeis hamerchatz, it's a basic case, except in the bathhouse, in the bath, and one is not allowed to think in words of Torah. Think about other things, but not words of Torah. And therefore, how is he allowed to even do more, verbalize words of Torah? They're in the bathhouse. How can you tell them different halachas? And if you think that maybe he told them in a secular language, and therefore, since he didn't use the holy tongue, so therefore there was no isser of speaking words of Torah. But Abaya said, Dvarm shalchal mutul amel b'loshen kodesh. Secular matters, you're allowed to even say in Lashon HaKodesh, in the Hebrew language. It's not a problem with the Hebrew language, it's the content. And that's why Shal Kodesh Asul Amrim B'Lashon Chol, that things of Kodesh, in other words, words of Torah, it's prohibited to say in a Makom Tenefes, a place which sort of like a dirty, unclean place, like a bathhouse or a bathroom, you're not allowed to say even a secular language. So again, how is he permitted to tell him halachas if he's telling him words of Torah? And that the Gemara says is a very important concept, Afushimi Surashani, that preventing transgression is different, and that is sometimes a person is in the bathroom or whatever, and he sees someone doing, or a bathhouse, sees someone doing something wrong, halachically, he has to tell him to stop, although it's, so to speak, teaching malacha, because to prevent an isser is different than that you're allowed to do. As the Gemara brings a riot, Teda, the Amr of Yehuda Mishmul, Maisim Talmidah Shal Remeya, you should know that what we said is correct, because it was a different story with a student of Remeya. Shenichnas Achav the Beis HaMerchatz, that he followed him into a bathhouse. He wanted to wash the floor from him. In other words, he wanted to so to speak, flatten it out. And he says that we don't wash the floor on Shabbos. And the problem is because you might come to smooth out the different holes in the ground, the pits, and that will be the Issa Deraisa of Baina, of building on Shabbos. So then, he wanted to go ahead and smear for him the ground to make it smooth. Amaloi ain't sachet, says we don't smear on Shabbos. Again, the same reason, because you might come to a place that has a dip or something, a ditch, and you might come to even that out, and that again is going to be the Isra of Baina. So the Gemara says, Alma Ifrushim Isrushan, you see that from that story that's separating, preventing a person from being over an Isra is different, that he was allowed to tell him even though he was in the bathhouse. Achinamala Ifrushim Isrushan, the hero, so it's the same principle that prevents someone from doing an Isra is different, and that's why he's permitted to tell him that these three halachas. So now the Gemara says there's one more lesson to learn from the story of Rebbe. That Amar Ravina Shmamina, from this story of Rebbe, we learn that whoever cooks with the hot waters of the springs of Tveri and Shabbos, that he's liable, that it's considered, so to speak, something that's cooking with hot water. And the proof is, that that this incident with Rebbe happened after the decree that we made that we prohibited all types of bathing, even steam bathing. And it has to be that it took place in the hot springs of Tveria, because Reb Shua ben Levi that we mentioned before, he was in the times of Rebbe. And he was the one that said about this Gezeira. And obviously that in times of Rebbe, they already had made this the Gezeira that it's prohibited to take any baths and or even to steam bathe in any hot water besides Chamit Tveria. And still, in spite of that, he told them to go ahead and take the hot water, which was obviously from the hot springs of Tveria, because you can't bathe anywhere else, and put it into a second cup, and then put in the flask of oil in there. And that is, however, but in the first cup, in the bath itself, or in the first cup, it would not be permitted. So obviously, you see that there would be an Issur Bishul on that water. Rishi Gemara asks, Ini, is that really so? Is there an Issur Bishul that applies with cooking with the hot water from the Chamit Tveria? Chizda said, whoever cooks with the hot water of the springs of Tveria on Shabbos is potter. And the reason is because it's what's known as toldos chama. The hot water was not heated by a fire, by ur. Rather, it was heated by the earth or by the sun or whatever it is. However, the hot springs get hot. So therefore, the whole issur bishul of Shabbos is only applicable to something that's heated by fire. And there it's not. And therefore, you're potter. So how can you say that you're chayiv? So what's the understanding of that story? That the Gemara says, "My chayv nami dekama." Correct. What does it mean when we say that a person is liable if he cooks with the hot water the springs of Tveria? That's makas mardis. That means that's the lashes of rebelliousness. That's only malkas midrabanan. The drabanan say that they'll give it if you're over drabanan. But there is no chayv deraisa, because the chayv deraisa only applies to hot water that was heated by fire, and that would exclude the chamit Tveria. So related to this discussion about bathing on Shabbos, the Gemara talks about swimming on Shabbos. Rebzera said that I saw Rebavo that it was floating in the bathtub on Shabbos. However, lo yedana I okar iloy okar. But I don't know if he lifted up his feet or if he didn't. And that is, if he lifted up his feet and that he holds that, this that we said that a person is not allowed to float on the water, in other words, not allowed to swim, that is only said, as it says over there, in the Nahar Godl, in the large river. Because there would be applicable the Gzer Drabon that we said that why is a person not allowed to swim on Shabbos? Because he might come to make what's known as Chavish Shal Shayot, might come to make a life preserver, as the Gemara says over there. But in a bathtub, there's no problem about floating. You can float in a bathtub. You're not making no life preserver in the bathtub. Or maybe he didn't pick up his feet in the hill. There's no difference that you're never allowed to float on the body of water. Because although it was made a Gzer regarding when you're out in the ocean or in a lake, however, it would apply to any pool of water. Now the Gemara asks, Pshita lo yoker, it's obvious that he did not pick up his feet, and he was not floating, even in the bathtub. The Tanya has learned the Braisa. Lo yoshet adam bebrecha melei mayim. A person is not allowed to float on a pool of a full pool of water. And that is, even though it wouldn't apply the gzeira, because you're not making any life preservers in a tub of water, still it's asim. Vafilo medis b'chatzar, and even if that pool is situated in one's yard, where there you don't even have a different problem, because since now you're in your Rishus HaYachid, you don't have the problem maybe he's going to spray water with his feet out of 4 amas, and that's why you would have to keep your feet on the ground and not to, so to speak, be floating or swimming, because then with kicking you might splash water 4 amas, and it's going to go from the pool, which is not a Rishus HaRabim, and it's going to go into the Rishus HaRabim. Even so, it's still Aser. A person is not allowed to float on Shabbos, because we made a decree, that's the Isra of swimming at Shabbos, because of the possibility that a person might come to swim on an area where he might need life preservers. Now the Gemara says, Loikasha, it's not difficult why he was not sure if he was floating or not. Because, this case where we said that it's prohibited even to float in a pool of water, we continue on to the top of Mem Aleph, Amen Aleph, was the less legaduti, where there's no embankments. And that is that there's no, the edge is not higher than the rest of the pool. Ha, the is legaduti, but this story from Rebbevo was talking about that there was, so to speak, an area around that's higher than the rest of the pool. And that is, whether there's geduti, whether there's these embankments around the pool, then it's not similar to a nor to a river at all, which doesn't have that sort of big embankment. It's just a natural slope. Rather, it's more similar to a vessel. So there, we said that maybe there was no gezeira derabanan of, so to speak, of floating, because it's not similar at all to a river, and therefore it's not related that one will then say, I can go ahead and so to speak, do this in the river. However, where there's no embankment, there it's similar to a river, and therefore it's prohibited because then it's similar to a river, and that was because the whole gezeira was really made on such an element, where you're out in the river or a lake or an ocean, where then floating might be dangerous, you might need to make a life preserver, and thereby violate a issa d'oraisa of doing something on Shabbos, That's why we prohibit it again. That's only when there's no embankment and similar now, although it's a pool of water, it looks like a lake in that regard. Maybe there we said that issue would apply even if it's in one's yard. However, if it's just a tub or something that has something out that's protruding on the edges, that doesn't seem like a river at all. And therefore, maybe there he said, maybe he was Akar Raglav, that he did pick up his feet, and that would be permitted and would not have the issue of floating, of swimming on Shabbos.